Welcome to CWA Radio Network, brought to you 7 days a week by Christian Women Affiliate. You're listening to My Journey of Faith, hosted by Cynthia McCutcheon, wife, mother, Bible teacher, and speaker, encouraging others to share their God stories to inspire others in their walk of faith. For the next 60 minutes, we invite you to join us live via the chat room. Click to talk to the host or call in 347-850-8893. After the show, we invite you to join us at Christian Women Affiliate. Here's your host.
Hi, I'm sure you've seen the Bible story of Joseph in Genesis, and in chapter 50 where he says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people." Thank you for joining us for My Journey of Faith today. I'm Cynthia McCutcheon, and that is exactly what our story is about today. I have with me a guest, Jawan Legate, and she's a woman who knows her own worth and is willing to fight for it. She's a small business owner and a single mom who is devoted to her daughter. She had the fight of her life a little over 2 years ago when a relationship went bad. She knows that Christ stepped in to save her life when her ex-boyfriend accosted her and tried to kill her. Today, she speaks up to protect others. It is not to bring attention to her, but to fight for every other woman out there. One in every four women is affected by domestic violence, and she wants victims to learn to become victors and protect themselves and her family. Through this journey, God has got her on a track that is just to do that, to save the lives of others. Hi, Jawan. How are you?
I'm excited to be talking to you today, Cynthia. How are you doing?
Just fine. I am so excited to let our listeners hear your story, hear the God journey that he has taken you on, even how horrific it was, but where he's placed you to help others. So let's just start. Let's rewind those things and start from the beginning. And I'll just let you take it from here.
Okay. The one thing that I wanted to say is the scripture that you just said a moment ago is what I was going to start with. What was meant for my harm, God is going to use to strengthen me. And he strengthens, I'm beginning to become stronger and stronger every day through the help of the angels that God's placed here on earth to help me. And I'm wanting to pay it forward with the nonprofit that I've started called Women's Own Worth. But I'll get back to what happened to me on July the 27th of 2011. I had broken up with my ex-boyfriend and thought that he was okay, but he kept on coming around, and he was a tugboat captain. He kept on coming to my home and coming to my work, and he had lost 20 pounds being on the tugboat. And being the nurturer that most of us women are, I thought, well, I'll just try to help him in any way I can by telling him to eat, or, you know, he would knock on my door, let's go for a run. I really didn't want him to go, but I'm like, if I can just give him 5 minutes of my time and he feels better about himself, he can go back on the boat and everything's going to be okay again. On July the 27th, I had closed on a home that I had dreamt of having, just a little fixer-upper by the lake. I walked out of the title company, and he was there. I went on to work later that day, and I walked out of my work, and he was there. He said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm just going to go climb Pinnacle." I didn't really have plans. I just knew that everywhere I went, he was showing up. And at that time, I don't know why, but I didn't feel like I was being stalked, but I was. I thought to myself, well, I'll go to the gym. I said, you can follow me to my gym, and then we'll go climb Pinnacle. So he followed me to my gym, where he is not a member, because I thought, well, I'll give him 45 minutes of my time, climb Pinnacle, go back to the gym, and I'll be kind of rid of him, but maybe has helped him through the day, I guess. As we got to Pinnacle, I did not have the correct shoes. I had on flip-flops because, again, I had no intentions of going. He was like, "Oh, well, let's go change your shoes. This is a God thing, people. I want y'all to hear this." I had a pair of shoes in my back seat. They were in the box that I needed to return because they were too small. We rode to Kohl's department store and exchanged the shoes. I tried them on in the store, and they fit. When I got back to Pinnacle, he got his backpack out of the trunk of his car, and I was like, why are you carrying a backpack? Because we never do that, just up and down and maybe carry a bottle of water. And he said, well, I'll just carry the water in this. And I thought that was kind of odd, but I put my tennis shoes on and they were too small. And I said, these shoes are too small. And he's like, looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, really, feel with my foot. And he felt at my foot and he's like, that's weird. Because he thought at first that I must have been lying, that I didn't want to hike or something. And he felt them. They were actually too small. Don't ask me how 30 minutes ago they fit me, but now they didn't.
It's a God thing.
It's a God thing. In that backpack, I've soon to find out what was in that backpack that he wanted me to hike up the mountain. We started to exit the park in his vehicle, and he turned right instead of left to take me back to my vehicle. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, well, I just want to talk to you. Because he had been trying and trying to get back together with me. And our whole relationship, he was never physically abusive to me, but he was mentally abusive to me. He lied to me constantly. I was his possession. I was not. He didn't care about me. He just cared that I was his possession. As he turned right, I said, take me back to the car. He turned sharply into a parking place, and I thought he was going to correct himself driving. And he ran to the back of the vehicle and got that backpack again. And I was like, what are you doing? He threw a tennis shoe from the back seat, from the hatchback, and said, I'm looking for you some shoes. And I thought, he doesn't have any shoes in this car. And no more than I thought that. He was back at the driver's seat, dropped his backpack with the two rolls of duct tape fell out of, and put a pistol to my head. The hammer was cocked, and he said, I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to kill myself. You're in love with somebody else. I did not look at the gun. I was only looking in his eyes and silently praying, of course. I said, whatever you want, we can go get married. We can do whatever you want. And he said, you're lying to me. His contact burst out of his eye like a cork out of a champagne bottle. I'm not kidding. It was the weirdest thing. And his veins were bulging. He looked like a different person. And I talked him down, and he said, you're lying to me. I said, no, I promise. Let's go. He said, let's go get Little One. That's my daughter. He would call her Little One. And I said, no, we can't. She's with her dad. Well, let's go to your mom's. And I thought to myself, if I ever get away from this man, he will never lay eyes on my daughter again or my parents or anyone I know. As I got back to my vehicle, I got in the car and I called 911 and I said, my ex-boyfriend is behind me. I had grabbed the gun in the backpack as I exited his car and I said, I'm taking this from you because I'm scared you're going to hurt yourself. And that was the truth. I was scared that he was going to harm himself. Yeah. And he followed me. And as I was talking to the 911 operator, she said, do not get on the highway. Go straight down Cantrell. And as you go down Cantrell, you'll pass my salon. I said, please, somebody get to me before I get to my salon, because if I get to my salon and pass it, he'll know something's wrong. Well, they did not get to me. And as I turned down the next street, he jumped out of his vehicle and ran at my vehicle as fast as he could, and I didn't know if he had another weapon or not, so I just took off. Mm-hmm. Then when I met up with the police and gave them the gun and the backpack, they went searching for him, but see, he didn't have a residence and address, because 80% of his time he was on the tugboat or lived with his parents or his sisters. Mm-hmm. And so when I went to the police department and gave my statement, they said, you have 48 hours to get an order of protection against him, and this will be a Y felony. It will be attempted murder and kidnapping. And so in the meantime, I was hunted, just like the people that you see on TV, on all this 60 minutes and 48 hours, and they're like, oh my gosh, how scary could that be? I'm scared to go to work, because I'm scared my clients or my friends would get caught in the middle of something.
Right. Or your
daughter. My daughter, yes. I had to tell my daughter what had happened, and I told my neighbors, and I said, you know, if he comes around, this is what's happened. The police, I was going to leave in one day for vacation, And I said, I'm going to Florida. And he doesn't know exactly where I'm going. And, oh, they pat me on the back and they said, well, I don't think he's going to follow you to Florida. And I said, well, he's coming back for me. If he hasn't already harmed himself, he's going to kill me and kill himself if he hasn't, because he has nothing to lose other than his job now. This is his mentality. I was it at that moment. I had no idea why, because he had treated me so badly for 2 years that I couldn't believe that it's to this point, and now all he wants is me. But that's how people work when they're getting into your cracks. And you, anyway, a couple of days later, like I said, we were leaving. I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
A couple of days later, we were leaving for Florida, and I had friends and family that were going with me, and I had to tell them, you know, this is what's happening. If you want to go with me, I can't protect you. I did get a gun. My family got me a gun, and my family told me, you know, his life is not more valuable than yours, and you don't let anyone take your life. God created you to be a victor, not a victim.
Exactly.
He wants greatness for all of us. Women that are in these relationships that aren't going bad and they feel like they're undeserving of a good relationship, they're more than deserving of excellence. And if they can do anything, take control of your life, because it's yours and nobody else's. And so I got my gun, and I carried it everywhere I went. The story isn't for everybody, Cynthia. But hopefully it's going to touch the people that need to hear this, and don't let the situation get to the severity.
Even if it touches one person and helps one person, we've done our job. We've done what God needs it.
I carried my gun everywhere I went. I carried it to the beach. My friends that were newly married stayed a mile down the street because they didn't want to be in the same condo as us, because they were in fear of their lives.
Mm.
And I prayed, and I called all my friends that are prayer warriors, and I said, please pray for me. And they did, and I prayed. And I prayed for strength and courage to do whatever I had to do if it came to that point. When we returned home from our vacation on Monday, the following Monday, my plumber had came over, and I had him come in the house, and I said, well, I want you to sit down and read this police report, because this is what's going on in my life. And like I said, I don't want any of my friends or family to get hurt. I'm afraid that he's going to come around. And he said, oh, my gosh, that's crazy. But I think I'll be okay, because he's kind of a tough guy. And I said, well, I have my pistol with me, and I will try to protect you, but I can't promise you anything. So if you're scared to go, I understand. My daughter, Erica, and my foster niece and my godson were in my home, and we went to Hot Springs. I said, I'm going to be gone 2 hours. Don't go in outside and play. Y'all can stay right here, but you're not allowed to go outside. When we were on our way to return, Erica called me, and I was like 30 minutes out from being home, and I said, I'll be there in 30 minutes. As we pulled up, there was some trash in my floorboard, and I said, Timmy, give me that trash. And he's like, oh, I'll throw it away. I said, no, give it to me. And so I went to the trash can, threw away his trash, and I accidentally dropped my phone. I didn't realize this, and I turned around, and Timmy's face was white as a ghost, and his mouth was just dropped pretty much to the ground. And I was like, the word run came from him to me subliminally. And I didn't know if he was telling me to run, but before I could even think about it, he ran. And as soon as Timmy ran, the .30-06 was on me, because Steve Keith had came up behind him and put the gun on him.
Mm.
He growled at me to get in the car. He said, get in the car now. And I just screamed, where's Erica? Where's Erica? Where are the kids? And he said, I haven't seen them, but I didn't believe him. And I kept on asking where the kids were. And then I thought to myself, if he hasn't harmed the kids, I've got to get him out of here before he brings me back into my home with the children. So I got in the car, and he pushed me over the console. And as he was driving, he was left-handed, so he had a rifle in his left hand as he was pushing the blade up on a box cutter with his right steering. Timmy had ran two doors down to a friend's house, and he had shouted that his friend had gotten kidnapped and that he needed guns. And so they jumped in his vehicle, and they didn't have the keys. That was a good thing, because if they had intercepted in any way, I would be dead because the rifle was right on my head.
Right.
And as I passed him, he said that his heart just fell, that he never thought he would see me alive again. And as we were driving, Keith was saying, "Who was that man? Who was that man?" And I said, "It's Timmy. That's my plumber." And he said, "Tell him right now. Find your phone right now and tell him that I had a BB gun on you and that it was a joke," as he still has the rifle on my head. So I'm frantically searching for my phone, not realizing that I dropped it, when I see my purse that I had been carrying my gun in my back seat behind my driver's seat. I had always kept my gun in the front floorboard of the driver's seat. And I have a Lexus. My little purse won't fit through underneath, so I really feel like that was a God thing also. I asked again where Erica was, and he wouldn't answer me, and I just said silently, "Please, Jesus, give me strength." And I pushed his rifle as hard as I could toward the glove box and unloaded my revolver on him and opened, as he was driving, the passenger's door and pulled his rifle and him as hard as I could out of the vehicle. And I went running down the street screaming, "Please, Jesus, somebody help me." And I ran in the ditch, and I ran in the street, because when you're little, you're taught, don't ever be a steel target. Don't ever run a straight line. Run like a snake. And be as loud as you can. So all of these things came flooding back to me what I'm supposed to do. I turned around one time as I was running, and he had his rifle up on his shoulder, pointing it at me, ready to shoot me again. A man passed by me, and I could see him in his rearview mirror with just his eyes wide open, and he drove on, and I was screaming, and he drove around the corner because he was, in his mind, he had to get out of the line of fire of that rifle. So he rounded the corner, and he stopped, and I just left into his vehicle, and I said, "Did you see him drop?" I said, "Did you see him?" He said, "No." I said, "Did you see him drop?" He said, "No, he did not." And I said, "Please get me back to my daughter." And we started to drive, and I saw a police officer's car in a driveway, and I said, "Stop." So I ran to him and banged on his door and said, "Please, somebody help me. I've got to get to my daughter and my other kids," because I don't know if he had gone back or if they were already shot or if something had happened to them. Every moment could count. So he drove me back to the scene of the accident, the scene of the incident, and it seemed like an eternity that I was there, and they were talking to me, but meanwhile, they were checking on Erica. The Bryant Police Department did a great job. You know, everything seems like it took forever, but in actuality, it didn't. When I dropped my phone, a little boy had came riding down the street on his scooter and picked up my phone and took it directly back to his mom. So as soon as Erica called me, when it had been 30 minutes later, and I had actually already drove up in the car and then been accosted already, Erica called me because she knew her mom should have already been home.
Nice.
So when she called and the lady answered that it wasn't me, she went into a panic. She called immediately. She was one of the first calls to the police department. "My mom, somebody has gotten my mom. Her ex-boyfriend tried to kill her last week."
Oh, man.
Very hard to talk about. But
yeah,
people surrounded me with kindness and love, and Christ placed every one of y'all in my life. and he's using this, and he's using all the things terrible that have happened to me to help others.
Exactly.
And today I'm a lot stronger person than I was when all of this happened. The colors are so much brighter outside. I cherish every moment, because every moment that we have with our loved ones and our family is a gift. I had met my now fiancé a month before all of this happened, and I had told Keith, you know, I've met someone that's really nice. I'm not in love or anything, but when he asked me out on a date, he shows up.
Mm.
And he's been through all of this, and now one of my other purposes other than Women's Own Worth to help promote other ladies' worth in the face of tragedy that's happened to them, not just domestic violence, but any criminal act that's been done to someone's family or loved one where they need counseling, we're going to help provide that. People were placed in my life that for no monetary gain, just wanted to help. And one of those people is Kim Williams. She's a therapist here that works with a lot of the Little Rock police officers that have been in any kind of shooting before they go back into the field. She's a heaven sent, and she has decided that she's going to help to give therapy and counseling to any women that need it that come through our nonprofit.
That's amazing, yeah.
And I have two dentists that have told me without me even asking, hey, we're ready and willing to give any kind of dental work to people that are in need that have been through any kind of violent act toward them. One thing that we as women need to do is we can't plan defeat and expect glory. We always need to expect goodness and not to be defeated in anything that we try to accomplish or do. That's relationships or getting this nonprofit started. I mean, I have ladies right now that are listening from a shelter, and I just want them to take control of their life today. There's people out there willing to help, and people, surround yourself with people that lift you up in Christ, you know. And we have all of our sisters in Christ need to bond together. This is a very hard subject, you know, and domestic violence is a hard subject, and it's it affects everyone from every economic background. But if we all stand together, we can help each other. And so what we're going to do, this is going to be my legacy, going to be helping women long after I'm gone. I'm just very thankful that you've allowed me to be on your show too, Cynthia. And I haven't got my website up yet, but, you know, it's going to happen soon.
Yes. I think it's wonderful to bring out this, like you said, one in every four women are affected by some type of violence. And it's kind of that thing that we've put a veil over for so long and so many years that women are afraid to even step out. And plus, a lot of times they're afraid, you know, their captor or they're the one that's the aggressor in the situation will find out, and they fear for their family or they fear for, you know, just their friends. But to have a place and to have someone there that has been through it and can say, you can make it, you are a woman of worth, because I'm sure self-worth goes way down in those situations.
Right. And people might be just embarrassed to tell someone. Don't be embarrassed. And ladies, you didn't cause this. You can't cure it. You know, God said, I'm not the author of confusion in Corinthians 14:33. All this confusion is in your life, and God's not part of it. And he wants it out of your life.
Exactly right.
And there are ways to get out of it, and you are worthy. All of us are worthy of excellence. So,
that is true. God says we are made in his own image. And if he is worthy, we have a very special place. That is true.
Exactly.
Well, we just have a few more minutes left, so I want to give you, is there any thoughts that you might just, you really want to focus in, something that maybe you haven't shared, that you just really want to hammer in to some thought processes out there for some ladies that maybe need one nugget from you?
Well, I think that we need to listen to both and really see the red flags that are shown to us when our friends and our family are saying, no, something's not quite right. Well, guess what, ladies? Usually it's not. When somebody shows us who they are the first time, believe them. That doesn't necessarily mean when someone does something that you don't like the first time that you're going to discount them totally. But, you know, if somebody lies about something that you think is important, that even it's a small lie, if they're going to lie about something small, it's usually going to be that they're going to lie about something big when you're not listening. We can break this cycle, and it's, I don't tolerate anything anymore. I tolerate the way I treat others is the way I'm going to be treated always. And I didn't feel worthy, I guess, because I was going through a divorce, and I was I felt kind of broken. And that's when people, that's when people that don't have good intentions a lot of the times will pretend like they are the one that do have the best intentions, and so you let them in. I don't really have a broken train of thought, Cynthia.
That's understandable.
But I just know that one other thing, I always have kind of kept up my health, you know, but right before all of this happened to me, probably for about 6 months, God started preparing me. I've never been a runner ever in my life, and I started running. I have friends that I cut their hair that own gyms that were training me for free, and I was just in the best shape of my life. And that was God preparing me for the run of my life.
Exactly.
You know, and
we don't know that God, the little things that we go through, the decisions we made, are preparing us for something bigger. That is so
right.
Well, Jawan, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today, and for just what, through that horrific ordeal that you went through, where you are seeing that God is intending it for good and allowing you to help others. Jawan is doing the WOW, Women's Own Worth, and she will be setting up a website and a Facebook page soon. But if you want to get in touch with her, prior to that, if you'll just on Facebook, My Journey of Faith Radio, contact me and I'll get you in contact with her. But Jawan, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you, Cynthia. One thing I want to close with, one Bible verse that's my favorite now.
Okay.
Psalms 27:13. What would have become of me had I not believed that I would seek the Lord's goodness again? Ladies, if you're in trouble right now, there's light at the end of the tunnel. If he brings you to it, he's going to bring you through it. And in my case and in yours, it can be even a better person and a better life after. Okay? Thank you so much, Cynthia.
Thank you. And thank you for listening to us, to My Journey of Faith today. I thought it was kind of neat that Christine Kane tweeted today, any stumbling block to this enemy has set to try and take you down, God can use as a stepping stone to take you up, and that is so true. Remember to share your story, because even if your story tells and helps one person, it's all worth it. Thank you again. See you next week. Bye-bye.